Welcome back to another episode of the Inner Fight Podcast. This is 600 and... Wait a second. Yeah, I got it right. 698. Hope you're having a good week. No matter where you are in the world, hope you're driving safely. If you're listening to us whilst you're doing some form of sport, then this one might actually make you think a little bit more about your sport. And definitely, if you have children, it'll make you think about what you're doing for your kids in sport. If you're pushing them too much, if you're not pushing them enough, I speak in this show with Matt Dewhurst, who has joined us to do two things. One, to coach adults endurance sports, and secondly, to coach children endurance sports, juniors. He has a proven track record in coaching juniors. And as you'll see from what we talk about in this show, he's incredibly knowledgeable about how not only to coach those juniors, but how to manage the various situations. Tom Walker sits in on the show, doesn't really contribute much, but he's there. No matter where you are in the world, enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of the show. Tom, last endurance coach you brought, no one could understand. This one has a slightly more understandable accent. What's the story?
Just.
Mate, recruitment policy is based on accent, right?
It is. It is one of the high points, yes. But he's been in Dubai 2 years already, so.
Matt, welcome. Welcome to the show. Give us a bit of background on yourself, mate. What's going on?
Thanks for having us. A bit of background. Been in tri for what? 6-7 years now. Been in Dubai for 4 and a bit years, so... Yeah, just come on board now as of last week.
And originally from the northwest of England.
Yes.
That's where that accent comes from. Bolton, anyone? But interesting, mate, is that that's where Ironman UK is.
Yeah, so actually the first Ironman I did was in Bolton. It's kind of thought of if you're in the tri scene in Bolton and don't do the Ironman UK, you're kind of thought of probably a little bit less.
Really?
So, yeah, a little bit of pressure there in terms of going doing it. But actually, it's a really good race. I'm meant to be going back hopefully this summer, if it does happen, to give it another crack.
That's where Rob Jones did his first Ironman. He sat here on the table. No mic for him today, quite fortunately.
It was my first as well, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's some... Is there another Ironman in the UK, or is that the only one?
Wales, please.
Yeah, Wales, and now Ireland have added one in as well. But
Ireland as well. Yeah. Where's Ironman Wales?
In Tenby, from where I'm from.
Really?
Well, not from Tenby, but yeah.
Where
yeah,
does it swim in the ocean, or is it on a lake?
Yeah, yeah, it's Tenby quite Beach. A brutal race.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the toughest.
Oh, please.
Come on. Back me up, Matt.
Some of those swim videos from like previous years, yeah. That's one rough swim.
Yeah, and the bike is horrendous.
It's probably the longest transition in Ironman as well.
Yeah, it is. It's like a 1 mile run between the swim and the bike.
Oh.
And then the bike is
there's an extra
really
transition
hilly
for it.
And do you run...
Up the beach, up yeah some steps, along the road,
all barefoot,
around the seafront. You can take shoes if you want.
Yeah.
Ice cream on the way.
It's like we need to speak to Ivana. It's almost like an adventure race.
Some people treat it as like an adventure
up
race. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly. Have you done that race?
No, I've used to. Yeah. My job used to be to recce people around it.
Really?
But I've never raced it.
Yeah,
so well, it's close to corner, isn't it? So it's kind of like those that want to qualify for the next year.
Yeah.
It's not, and then they've missed out on that current year.
Yeah.
It's a big pull for that.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a brutal one.
I'm not sure running up and down an extra mile when you've still got to run 26 miles at the end is really.
It's not a flat run course either.
And do they take into consideration, well, times don't matter because they just dish out places based on place. So it doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
Yeah. Jeez. And the run course is savage.
It's brutal, yeah. 4 laps of...
Mate, I'm struggling to see what's good in Wales.
The weather?
Yeah, yeah. Well, mate, old Irish was telling us he got a singlet tan yesterday. He got burnt running for 12 hours in Ireland.
Lying.
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. I'm not sure what Burns says. But anyway, Matt, let's jump back to it, mate. Give us, how did you get into endurance sports? And obviously, we read you're a lot of football as a kid. How did endurance sports come around?
Yeah, so actually, like before football, swimming was my thing. Swam county level, was a butterfly swimmer.
Butterfingers. Just wanted to annoy the other kids.
I swam competitively over sprint distance for a long time, until 13, 14. But my interest was always football.
Yeah.
As a kid, everyone did it. It was like sort of not thought of well if you didn't. and I happened to be quite good at it as well. So swimming just got a bit too much. Trying to do football as well at the same time. I was into cricket as well. I was that typical kid at school that pretty much just did everything.
Yeah. That's good though, right, mate?
Yeah. Even now as a coach with kids,
yeah,
I'd prefer them to do absolutely everything. Like experience everything, learn skills from everything. You can specialise later in life.
Yeah.
Then eventually I was in football and cricket for a long time. And that was pretty much it until mid-20s where we've got family in South Africa, and my dad's uncle, he was pretty big on Ironman. He'd done Comrades. He's had some really high place finishes in both those events, and I was kind of in awe of him. And sort of got to a stage with football where it's like I can't really go any higher than the semi-professional level I was.
Yeah.
Missed that boat and admittedly probably wasn't good enough to go any higher.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what's next? And I remember doing Manchester 10K, and I was like, running's not quite enough for me. Like going doing a road marathon just didn't interest me, didn't excite me. So I then saw my dad's uncle and I was like, God, this looks pretty cool. And I went watching Ironman UK.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just like, well, do you know what? I'm going to give this a crack.
Maybe that was the year that Rob Jones was actually doing Ironman UK. Possibly. Maybe you saw
Could
him.
Have been. Nah. And
2018.
Or just before them.
2017. Or 16.
I was 2016.
Probably 20.
I beat you.
I think it was about 2015 I went watching it.
Yeah.
And the first year I did it was 2017.
Right.
Well,
explain that, mate, because obviously there's a couple of interesting things in it. With football, when you get taken to a football game when you're younger, you get quite heavily inspired.
Yeah.
Now, you've gone to an Ironman triathlon as a youngster. It's not got quite the same sort of publicly known track record of, I want to be an Ironman or I want to be a triathlete. Like, everyone sees all these footballers on the field, hundreds of thousands of people, whereas you probably saw something quite different at Ironman.
Yeah, I mean, I always say it now. I kind of wish I'd found the sport a lot earlier.
Yeah.
When I finished swimming, I was probably in the best position ever, actually, to then continue it. And like the repetitive of swimming constantly in the pool was what did it for me, and not too much. Where now, like, I have a nice little balance of three, four swims a week, where actually that's okay and it's manageable, and I don't get sick of it.
Yeah.
I know from speaking with Jess, like she was the same. It was it just gets too much. And I've seen it with a lot of kids here. Like, it is too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, going watching Ironman, it's a completely different event. You've got people you've got the pros at the front. You've got people that is literally, there's no way around it. They're overweight, but they're still completing these massive challenges.
Did you, as a youngster, mate, do you find that inspiring?
Yeah, massively. I think for me, I you see it now, and you know as well, I have, like, obviously coached a lot of kids here. What's the one event they'll always go and watch?
Yeah.
And it's Ironman Dubai.
Yeah.
And I know it's a half, but still, they're inspired by seeing their coaches, seeing people they know in the community, seeing their parents, seeing friends and family going doing it. And it's kind of like, well, they might not have that interest to go into that distance, but it's still quite inspiring to see people of just any ability being able to share the same field and complete the same task.
It's quite a contrast, isn't it? You've got a footballer who rocks up to the game in a really flash car, wears a nice outfit, hundreds of thousands of people, and then you've got a 45-year-old overweight bloke in a triathlon suit with salt stains all over it.
But it's not relatable, is it?
No.
We've seen it in tri as well. There's people that have made the pro ranks later in life, Ironman and stuff. And, everyone, like Lionel Sanders is obviously a big talking point in terms of Ironman distance. And he came through as an age grouper and found his way into the sport. But even like the accessibility to athletes, like you're on the same course as them.
Yeah, it's cool.
You go down to ITU Abu Dhabi, which you get the very best sprint and Olympic distance triathletes in the world, and you can just go and chill out with them afterwards.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We had a really cool experience like the last couple of years where we had had a number of athletes like actually just come and join us for dinner afterwards.
Wow.
And meet like the whole previous team that was involved in, and you know, for the kids, like that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they go and get shirt signed, cap signed and stuff. And I think that accessibility to those athletes and actually being able to, you know, share the same course, share the same sort of experience as them, you know, it's relatable and it's, yeah, it's really inspiring for everyone.
Do you think that comes because most professional triathletes come through the age groups because that's the nature of the sport? People train, compete, learn and get better. You don't get many people that will just, like footballers, they almost get wrapped up as, I think it's quite an interesting comparison, but they get wrapped up from a young age in cotton wool, don't they? And they never really, they might not play for club, and it's like, he's such a good talent that we need to keep him, you know, just in the academy of this club. And and that creates this mindset for the boy on a young age that he's different to the others. Whereas triathlon, you literally have to go to races and race.
Yeah.
Like that's the only way, isn't it? I don't know. It's an interesting one, right?
Yeah. And you guys know, like obviously, like for the listeners, like my experience working in professional football as well as being as a strength conditioning coach for an academy.
Yeah.
And I've been part of that process, which has been seeing someone from 12 to 18 and then making the youth team, then making the reserve team, and then making their professional debut.
Yeah.
You know, I was pretty lucky at the time that when I was involved in pro football, there's possibly just under 10 players that made first team. And like now one of them's playing in the Premier League every week. Well, when he's not injured, but that's not my responsibility anymore. So, but yeah, like, you know, seeing that process and how brutal it is.
Yeah.
Like it's a business now. Yeah. And it's purely a business. Yeah. Yeah. And those players they're not athletes.
No.
They are a property of the club now.
Yeah, they're almost like seen as an asset of the club.
Yeah, because, you know, they're going to make them millions of pounds potentially.
Yeah.
And even if it's just selling them, like it's really like a big deal for them. So, yeah it's completely different. It's such a different way of progressing into the sport, and actually I'd say it's a nicer progression into the sport because football is very cutthroat. You could have all the want and drive in the world, but it's down to opinion.
How long does it take normally before a triathlete becomes a pro triathlete?
I'd say it depends on that particular athlete and what sport they want to go into in terms of distances.
Yeah.
Naturally, the stronger athletes at Ironman and 70.3 normally comes with age.
Yeah.
It's a very strength endurance-based sport.
Yeah.
So you'll see quite a lot of athletes try to go ITU, and so they try and go for the sprint and the Olympic distance, but they're maybe not quite good enough to win, and they'd be like a domestique almost for somebody else.
Yeah.
And they realise they're not making an awful lot of it, but actually their strength is in the longer stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll make that transition earlier. Where then some of these ITU guys, they see it as a retirement plan of, okay, we're going to do an Ironman now so I can tick it off and I've been to Kona.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the athlete. And naturally, like some people progress into the sport after coming out of another sport.
Yeah.
You know, we spoke earlier about Beth Potter, who's just gone and broke the 5K record.
Yeah.
Like she came from, is it 10K running?
She was a runner, yeah.
Yeah, and she's, you know, she was the elite 10K runner for Great Britain. Then just suddenly decided, I'm going to do triathlon now.
Nuts.
Took it up, did a few age group races, got a pro license, and now last weekend she just won the Super League, which was like a really big deal for her because it was big public in front of the BBC.
How old was that guy that we're talking to at Surfast that won 70.3 in Dubai?
24.
Yeah.
He was.
I'm surprised he's not quite better at social media. We're going to do a podcast and he doesn't reply to me on Instagram. He's like, yeah, we'll do it. And then, but he was very young.
He was young, but he was an ITU guy. I think if you're going into ITU, you have to go in young.
Yeah.
Because they're so fast and it's an Olympic sport. So you have a pathway you have like they will have from like GB Triathlon, you go in at really young, they have long-term athletic development, you go through the processes, you go into trials, yeah. Like just like Jess has gone through.
Yeah.
Whereas in long distance, Ironman and stuff,
you just rock
there's
out.
None of that. So yeah. You get like the 20-year-olds who used to swim and can ride a bike now. Like Lucy Charles, for example,
yeah.
She did her first Ironman UK, wasn't it?
Was,
as an amateur.
Yeah.
And like she did it for charity as a bit of fun. And then she won her age group and they were like, yeah, you're actually pretty good at this.
Yeah.
So then she's just cracked on and then became a pro and moved on from there, like Lionel Sanders, that sort of area. But yeah. Then what made it interesting these last few years is when the ITU guys started coming over to Ironman.
Yeah.
And they actually like had a game plan because that's how they'd raced ITU. So then you suddenly got like tactical racing. And that's when like, I think, who's it? Van Leerder in like 2012 time. He won it and he was like one of the first ITU guys to come over and execute in that sort of aggressive race plan. Whereas normally yeah. It's like, who can go the hardest and just suffer the longest?
Yeah.
Whereas he was like, okay, I'm going to ride like this and then I'm going to come back on the run. And so then
look
it started
Daytona
to change.
Recently, like Gustav Iden.
Yeah.
He's perfect example of, he was just really consistent across all three and then just ran through the field.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got these other guys like Christian Blumenfeld who just completely shattered
yeah.
at Bahrain. And, you know, he's turning around to people saying, well, to him, 70.3 in Ironman appears to be the easiest distance for him because it's just about, like, yeah. strategy. And
let's just create a little bit of context around, for those people that don't understand triathlon, we've mentioned ITU, we've mentioned short course Olympic distance, we're talking 70.3 and Ironman. What the hell is what?
So there's sprint distance, which is your shortest, or there's super sprint, which the kids do, then there's sprint, which is 750 swim, 20K bike, 5K run. Then you have Olympic, which is obviously the Olympic distance, which is also ITU either does Olympic or sprint. But Olympic,
ITU standing for International Triathlon Union.
So they go 1.5K swim, 40K bike, 10K run. So it's quite an exciting distance to watch. It's not too long, but it's fast. Then they've actually come out with a thing called Super League Triathlon, which used to be quite well known, like early 2000s. It went away and then they've brought it back, which is like different formats of each one.
Right.
And they've just moved it indoors. There's another format there.
It's brutal. They trialed it here in terms of as an amateur as well. And like you've got three different races in three different orders. And you've basically got 15 minutes to complete each race, get ready, then start again.
Yeah.
And the distances are short. They're really intense. But I mean, I've experienced it. And as a long distance athlete, I would consider myself as. Yeah, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
Then you've got half Ironman, which is middle distance, 1.9K swim, 90K bike, and a half marathon.
Yep.
Then you have long distance or Ironman, which is 3.8K swim, 100 mile, 180K bike,
yep.
and a marathon, which is what most people know as Ironman. But
so you can't do a sprint distance Ironman.
You cannot do a sprint distance. I actually did this on my story the other day of like, what is Ironman? Like Ironman distance, Ironman in capitals is the brand. Yeah. It's so confusing for people, I think.
I think that's why I pulled it up. I think a lot of people that listen obviously know the difference, but still people are especially because the brand of Ironman has become so strong now.
Yeah.
Everything is synonymous with Ironman and people think that what happened here in Dubai a few weeks ago was Ironman, but it's actually only half of the race.
And it's not the same. People are like, oh, it's the same thing. It's like, no, it's half of what you're
doing. Well, it's the same, but it's half. Yeah.
It's middle distance, essentially. Yeah. You've got to look at it middle distance, long distance. So.
But ITU people are, there's professional athletes, going back to the professionalism, there's professional athletes that race for in each category, basically.
Yeah. So
but there's not a lot of people that race because of the change of distances. There's not a lot of people that race ITU and Ironman or flip back and forward.
You'd have to be either a Brownlee or a Blumenfeld.
Yeah. It's very different.
Kindon.
Yeah.
It's such a different type of training.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only a very few that can.
But there's lots of, as you said, Matt, there's lots of progression from the shorter course stuff from ITU into, and that's almost, they're almost frowned upon, some of those guys that they've moved over to the enemy, to Ironman, right?
Yeah, like, well, Jan Frodeno was ITU king and world Olympic champion.
Yeah.
Came over to Ironman and said, watch this.
And then delivered.
Yeah, and, but people think, oh, he's Ironman, like he's our Ironman.
Yeah.
But the people who don't know the history of the sport don't realize that he was an Olympic champion.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. So that's the structure. Let's look a little bit more locally. And obviously, Matt, as you said, kids is something that you've worked with for a long time here in Dubai. Talk to us a little bit about what you've seen in the kids triathlon scene here in Dubai and almost what you've built over the last 3 years. Because I can imagine in the 3 or 4 years that you've been working in kids triathlon here, you've seen, like you said, you've seen a 12-year-old become a 16-year-old. You've seen, you know, you've seen a lot of change. It's not a short time.
No, so yeah, I mean, the last couple of years have been, I mean, it's such a rewarding sport to be in.
Yeah.
Generally because you see that progression, and obviously the easiest way to see progression is by results and how people grow as athletes, but also, you know, they look at the times and the, you know, we used to do like mini assessments, obviously just to track. And yeah, I mean, the hardest thing with kids is sometimes it's not by lack of trying. It's more by where they are in their development.
Yeah.
And it's such a patient game that you've got to play with children. And educating athletes around that is difficult because you don't want them to have an excuse of, I'm not progressing because I'm not growing.
Yeah.
Because you can still progress, but also, you know, being patient.
Yeah.
And kids aren't known for being patient, let's be honest.
Nor are parents, though, mate, right?
Well, yeah, that was the other comment I was going to make.
You're way too diplomatic. We got to change all of this.
But I have to be honest, like, the triathlon scene here in general is very good.
Yeah.
I came to this country, and I'll honestly admit that I underestimated it when I first came. The standard of athletes in terms of adults is very good.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why a lot of these adults go and compete at the World Championships, and, you know, there's a handful that do very well.
Yes.
And the kids see that, and they compete with those adults over sprint distance.
Yeah.
You know, Juliet that was here, who, you know, I worked with for a long period of time. She worked mainly in the Bend, but then came across to me for a large period. She's the under-16s national champion.
She used to smash Belgium. Rob Jones around the track. I remember watching it.
She was, like, incredible. Like, literally, like, she's just been back recently in the country.
Yeah.
Whilst, obviously, lockdown was in the UK and stuff. And, you know, she came to the track and she would hold on to the back of me for as long as she possibly could.
Really?
She would bury herself because she was so determined to do so.
Yeah.
And the same, like, throughout the club, there used to be so many kids that would do that. And they loved it. But there was... there was a nice atmosphere to it in the sense of it was a social thing as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really good here. The problem we had is maybe that everyone was all in the same club.
Yeah.
So it got quite friendly, but you were competing with kids maybe then from Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Yas Cycles used to have a couple of kids there that were really good and talented as well. And we actually used to invite them to training camps and stuff.
Nice. Cause
you know, they're all going to benefit from training with each other.
Yeah.
So, and do you know what? The standard of, and we go back to the GB, you know, entry into their programs. They basically look at swim times and just swim and bike. Swim and run. That's all they look at.
Right.
And these kids will make those squads to get into the trials and to the regional sides. That they're good enough to do so. And because they've had a plan, they've literally had some progression over that time, and you know, the standard of sport in this country is going up, and triathlon's a really good example of that, because there's, I could probably name about 10 kids now that are known who, you know, they may not have a career in it, but they could certainly go quite far in it.
Yeah, right.
And make something of it.
Let's humble a few of the adults listening. Spit us out some times that these kids need to be hitting. What is a 16-year-old times for swimming and running, mate?
So they will look at 400-meter swim, and they will look at a 1600-meter run.
Yep.
They need to be basically going under 5 minutes for a 400-meter swim. And for the run, they need to be running under 3 minute kilometer pace. So you just get a look in. I mean, yeah. It's crazy some of the speeds that they're having to do.
Yeah.
But the sport is just going further and further, and the records are just getting broken and broken. You know, you look at Alex Yee at the moment, he's the perfect example of, he's a triathlete, yet he is the national cross-country champion. I think he was track 5K or something like that as well. There was another...
He won everything at Bucks.
Yeah, pretty much everything. Yeah. And, you know, he's a triathlete, so he's having to still spend time swimming and running versus pure runners that are probably doing 80 to 100 plus kilometres, if not more, every week.
Yeah.
The standard is getting harder and harder to get into.
Do you think that's potentially why some of these guys are doing so good from triathlon, that in running, that they're actually not just spending all of that time running?
I personally think so, yeah. I think that cross-training and time away from that sport and the variation is really important.
Yeah.
You look at those, the Kipchoges and stuff, and the marathon runners, it's a bit different. Volume does become a lot more important, but their quality of the work that they're doing in their track sessions and their weekend runs. I'm a massive believer of when it says go easy, you've got to go really, really easy.
Yeah.
But when it means go hard, like, you've got to really push the limits. Yeah. And like, there's no zones with kids. There's no, you know, there's easy, okay, steady. And when I tell you to go hard, you need to really work hard.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, if they're willing to really bury themselves in those sessions and get what they need out of it, then they've got an unlimited potential in that sense.
Let's look into a little bit you talked earlier about like playing every sport. And I think this country is really good at offering kids loads and loads of sports. Actually, a lot of the kids I see have way too many sports. I work with some kids that literally they're getting home and I'm already in bed. Like, they'll get home from their day at like 8, 9 o'clock because they're playing a lot of sports, they're doing endurance sports. So how does a program or your programs for junior endurance athletes, what does it look like time commitment wise?
I think you've got to treat each person individual. And okay, from our perspective, we're gonna lay some foundations of sessions and things on particular days. But those that really want to do well on it, they can't be held to these sessions have to be on this exact day. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, one thing that we really want to do is be flexible with those kids and give them the opportunities to succeed. Mm-hmm. And the only way we're going to do that is by making sure that, you know, we look after them. And sleep is so important. Like, kids nowadays, especially, there's so much pressure on them in terms of school,
social media,
their stress levels, you could almost argue at times, is potentially higher than ours.
Yeah.
Because the older generation is probably not as bothered about as certain things that they are.
Yeah, right.
And then parent pressure with results and exams. This year, especially with potentially no GCSEs, or certainly last year.
Yeah.
So I think like a real personalized approach to that kid is really important, because we want them to experience these things and do other sports. And there's so many lessons that you can gain from, you know, from team sports and as well as individual sports that make you a better all-round athlete. Mm. And I think that the way that we want to deal with it, and certainly the way I want to deal with any junior athletes that come along, is it's that I'm going to treat you as the athlete that you are,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to make the best plan possible for you.
Yeah.
And if you want to go and do football training with school every Thursday, then we'll support that and we will make a plan around that.
Yeah.
Because it's a social thing. There's no point doing something if they're, it's a big, you know, if all their friends are playing football and they're going out, we're asking them to say, oh, you have to come and swim at 5:30 that day, you know, it becomes a chore. But you want to keep them in the sport because you don't want them to burn out. So I think being really flexible and week by week sort of and month by month working with that adult is really with that child is really important, and just getting an understanding of what it is they want.
Mate, we talk a lot about motivating adult athletes and trying to figure out sort of what's going on in their mind. How do you connect with younger athletes when I presume in a lot of scenarios, a lot of this stuff is new? Like, you can ask an adult, what are you feeling? And they'll be like, oh, it feels a bit like such and such experience I've had in my life. But for a kid, it could all be quite new. So how do you, in your experience, or how do you go about sort of having and figuring out, okay, a kid's tired, a kid's enjoying, a kid's not enjoying, apart from obvious signals of them smiling and not smiling, mate, or turning up and not turning up. As someone who sort of specializes and has been successful with kids, what are some of the things that you're looking for, and how do you deal with those things with the kids?
I think the relationships are key. Yeah. Really showing that you're not just the coach. I remember, like, growing up as a junior myself in sports, and I think we all have had those coaches that were a bit scared to chat to at times.
Yeah.
Because they were always seen as this untouchable figure, maybe. Yeah. For me, I think it's really key to show these juniors that you can have a good relationship with them, that they can come and talk to you about anything.
Yeah, right.
And it's, you know, you've got to put in the hard work to do so. I'll never forget it when I first moved out here and started working with a previous club, and none of the kids knew who I was. Yeah. I was completely new to Dubai, so that took time.
Yeah.
But showing interest, asking, you know, asking questions constantly, you know, finding stuff out about them personally, like, how's school going? How are you coping with this? You know, if they've got sisters or brothers, like, asking how they are if they're in the other country. You know, actually showing some interest in them outside of try.
Yeah.
And I think once you, and almost putting yourself in a situation where they see you outside of try.
For sure, yeah.
That you're not just a triathlete. You're not just a coach.
Yeah.
Showing that you do have those, you know, times away from the sport where it's not so serious, and you show that you can switch off from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were really lucky in the sense of pre-COVID that, you know, we put events on. We'd do stuff as, like, you know, just as a club. It would be, we'd try and, even just simple things, right? Come around for a barbecue, like,
nice,
you know, little things, and you know, we're trying and socialize, we're doing some other events and stuff. I think just, yeah, I think with the younger generation now, especially, you've just got to show that you're not this serious person that they can't come to.
I think
showing a real interest into them,
yeah,
and everything around them is really key.
Let's hit the hardest topic, or the hardest point on this topic: parent expectations. What's your real life, Tom? What's your real life experience of expectations, managing your parents' expectations of you as a kid and impacts that it had?
I was really lucky.
Completely blindsided.
I didn't have any expectations in my sport, to be honest, from my parents. I just wanted to live up to what I thought was their expectations, but in the truth of it, there wasn't any, which I think is the best way to grow up, but certainly that's quite an anomaly in most cases. Yeah.
So what do we see now? What are some of the things that we're seeing more frequently now?
I stay away from coaching kids. So that's why we have that.
You 100% you see it in people that you deal with. I wouldn't say in your current clients, just in case they listen and you're afraid to. But I see it in my clients where they want their kids to do what they're doing.
Yeah, I hear a ton of scenarios. Yeah. You want to say something, but you just need to hang back and hold your tongue. Yeah, but it's all based around, from what I see the most, is parents trying to live their past life through their kids.
Through their kids, yeah. So what do you see, Matt, as a coach? What have you seen? How do we manage it? What should people be looking out for? And if you're a parent, if you could say two or three things to a parent who's got kids, it's your one chance now. We've got to create this sort of platform so that if people come in 6 months,
this is to do or die question, really, and how I answer this.
No,
but it's, I think it's really important. And I don't think it's, because I think a lot of the time, you know, parents kind of control it. And I want my son in that class. Okay, but why? And when a parent will go to a sports facility or a sports company and say, I want my kid in that class, like, they'll just say, yeah, go and pay over there. Yeah. Where to me, that's a bit sort of like, because I've seen it, mate. People sign up downstairs and they'll buy 10 classes for their kids, and 6 months later, they've used two.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that was only because you came at the same time and your kid wants to come. We actually, what's quite cool is we've got it the other way around now. One of your friends is coming because his daughter wanted to come to a class. And he's like, well, I'm not going to sit here and do nothing while she's in the class. I might as well go to the other class. So, yeah.
You know. You see that quite a lot, actually.
I mean, which is nice.
With the kids' training sessions, like, I remember being down at Maidan. And, I mean, very rarely are parents will sit around and just have a coffee and wait. Like, yeah. A lot of them go out and ride themselves.
Yeah, go and do something, yeah.
I think in terms of going back to, like, with parents and their expectations and stuff, I think it's important to get to know sometimes why they feel that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially, the person that comes first is the kid and the athlete. And every time, you know, their priorities is what's most important. If they're there because they want to be there, and whether that is from an aspirational motivation or whether it's just from purely from a social perspective, then that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
If they're coming and they don't want to be there, then you've got to have that difficult conversation. And, you know, if it is a parent that is forcing them to come because they're trying to encourage them to do it, you need to get them to understand that they can always come back to this sport if they ever then decide that they do want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm a massive believer that there is something sports or activity-wise out there that everyone must enjoy. There has to be something.
Yeah.
You know, you get some people that come across and it's like, oh, I've never really been into sports, or, you know, exercise never really... I was never really interested in it. It never did anything for me. Did you try everything? Did you actually go, you know, did you get those opportunities at school?
Yeah.
Because eventually, you know, it does come back to what school you went to sometimes and the teachers that you had and what experiences you're exposed to. Did you generally go and try everything?
Yeah.
And the answer 9 times out of 10 is no.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Like, you might get someone to the age of 15 who goes, yeah, this is what I really want to do. And then suddenly, actually, I tried this the other week and I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I coached a young lad who was seriously talented in this sport. He got to 18, did Ironman Dubai. First time I've asked him, finished second in his age group and qualified for world championships.
Wow.
Really super talented kid. He was definitely going to weigh me in terms of ability once he could... got stronger on the bike, which naturally comes with age. He was way going to surpass me. And he had to have a really difficult conversation with us to say, I'm not enjoying this anymore. Like, wow. You know, this kid had been around for a good few years. And he's like, you know, I'm finding it a bit tough. And, you know, we had a conversation and it was left as, look, you can always come back to this sport.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to explore other opportunities and different things, then I will support you with that. And I'll actually encourage you to do that because I don't want you to do something you don't want to do.
For sure, yeah.
And do you know what? Funny enough now, they're living in Oz and he's just started uni. He just rocked up to the cross-country event the other week, first time without running in like 18 months and won it.
Wow.
And he started some swimming again. So he's got his bike, so you never know, he might actually find it again. But in terms of like the things with parents, it's just let them experience what, you know, you've got to give them the opportunities to do what they want to do and experience it and not put that pressure on. And I get it, it's difficult maybe sometimes. You want the best for your kid.
Yeah.
And we all, you know, everyone wants the best for the people that they care about. But actually doing the best thing for them can be to let them experience and fail and learn from their own mistakes. And as a parent, you've got to take a step back and, like, it's potentially difficult if they've been involved in the sport and they've got that experience, but the coach has got a plan. The coach is, you know, a good coach is planning towards and working towards something. And if you're unsure of where that plan is, just have a conversation with the coach, really, because... Yeah. the parent and the coach has got to work in relation, got to work together as well as the athlete.
Yeah.
You've got to have a common goal.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to really succeed in terms of helping a kid progress, like, you've got to have all those, you know, it's like a triangle of relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
All together, but also a direct line between the two and the other two. And I mean, you've got to buy into what that coach and that club is doing.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing I see as well, is that almost the kid said he likes it, and then they sort of drop them off, and then it's a done deal. And it's like, that's great, because I've just freed up 8 hours a week where I can go and do stuff, and then they start to quite like what they're doing in those 8 hours, and then the kid doesn't want to go anymore. It's like, well, oh, hang on a minute, I can't go and do all of this. But I think it's going to be an ongoing circle, isn't it? It never sort of stops, but I think that open dialogue between coach, parent, and child, and whatever meeting needs to take place or whatever communication, is the key. And at the end of the day, what we care about, like you rightly said, mate, is the people that we care about the most.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know what? Like, you have those meetings together and separate, and because sometimes someone might not say something in front of the other. And like
parent-teacher evenings.
Yeah, I mean, I know I never used to go to parents' evening because I didn't want to hear what they had to say. But yeah, it's really important. I think relationships all around there is the key to success. I mean, I've had some parents that have literally just gone, we trust you, you do, like, I've told them to deal with you directly because I'm not going to get involved.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant, but I do need your support sometimes.
Yeah.
So to reinforce some messages. And
yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that's the dream, really. We trust you. Do as you need to do. Here's the money. Do what you need to do.
That is the dream. There we go. Kids triathlon, triathlon on the whole. Any final comments? Nah. Everyone's happy. And that's good, mate. We're excited. Obviously, we had junior triathlon a few years ago, and we haven't had it for a few years, and it seems like we've got some decent demand for it, and I think it's an area that our approach to triathlon and approach to sport and fitness and life will bring big benefit to, so it's good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've spoke about our program is not going to be just aimed at triathletes as well.
Exactly.
You know, if people have got kids that are really involved in swimming that just want to do a bit of cross training, whether it's some strength work or you know, they want to come to a run session once a week, you know, they can do. You know, if someone wants to come and just cycle once a week, there's the proof is there that you don't have to just do swimming or running to be successful in that sport. Like, you need variance, you need that, even just from a mental side, like,
exactly.
Just to switch off and do something different.
Yeah.
So, as much as we're going to be focusing on triathlon, it's all relatable.
I mean, that's the thing, mate. You've got bikes, you've got runs, you've got swims, you've got strength sessions. But if someone, and this is one of the biggest missing components I'm seeing from a lot of kids' sport here, is that there's not a lot of strength and conditioning. And strength and conditioning for someone at age 14 to play various sports is not hugely different.
How can you expect to demand more of your body
if
you're not put in a position to be able to do so? You know, essentially, we don't want anyone to break down. So as you're going through that growth spurt and you've come out of it, like, what's the most important thing to do? Regain those fundamental movements.
Absolutely.
By increasing resistance and putting them in situations where they've got to put stress on the body, but appropriately.
Yeah.
And look, there's clubs here that don't have the facilities to do so.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we're offering to be that club or an extension to someone else's club.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're open to anyone that's involved in junior endurance, which we're going to help and supply. And whether you're once a week, whether you're here every session, like, you're part of the club, and we'll support that as best as we can.
Brilliant. And it's not just if you're in Dubai, folks. If you're anywhere in the world and you want to speak to Matt about endurance programming for athletes or for adults, then give us a shout. Winningitinafight.com.
We'll see you in the pool. We'll see you on the track. We might see you on the bike track if you let us catch you up, mate. But it's good to have you in the team. And folks want to get in touch with Matt, md@innerfight.com. Tom, you said 25 words. Thanks for your contribution to the show. We'll see you next time.